After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
Welcome to the Krishnadas Pilgrim Heart Hour. In this podcast, Krishnadas shares his warm-hearted and down-to-earth path to the divine. If you are interested in supporting Krishnadas's podcast, please go to beherenownetwork.com/KD.
Oh, Baby love, my baby love, I love you, oh how I love you.
That's what it is, it's baby love.
Gopala.
Maharaj used to become like a little baby when we sang at them. He'd roll around on his bed, you know, and just like in ecstasy. It was so unbelievable to see. It's like, you know. It was incredible. He'd go bala, and he'd roll up, roll around. Go bala. Oh my. And the most powerful form of Hanuman is what do they call it? It's baby Hanuman. And because you know the story of Hanuman, we'll talk about it tomorrow, but there's one at the very beginning of his life when he was a baby. You know, he was born with all the siddhis, all the powers of Shiva. And so one time he saw the sun rising in the sky early in the morning and it looked like a sweet fruit. So he ran up to grab it and eat it. And Indra, the sun got scared and Indra, the king of the gods, came and shot a thunderbolt and hit him on the chin and knocked him down. Hanu is chin. So Hanuman means the one with the broken chin. So then also he had, you know, being very spiritual, he loved the rishis and the sadhus in the jungle. So as a young child, he used to go hang out with them and he loved them so much, he would juggle them up and down, you know. He'd throw them up in the air and play with them and destroy all their fancy, you know, important rituals. So they cursed him. They said that he would only remember his powers when he was reminded. So from that moment on, he had to be reminded who he was and what he could do. Otherwise, he was just immersed in Ram, in Ram Nam, in the name of Ram. So that's why they considered the baby Hanuman to be the most powerful, because he had no restrictions. He could do anything at any time. Kind of like most babies. Anything at any time. Usually at 4 a.m. Anyhow. And I met, when I used to hang out in the jungle with this very old Baba. I talked about him before. He was 163 when I met him. And that was 25 years ago. So, but he was a worshiper of baby Hanuman. And he had this cave downstairs. He used to let us go down and sit there. And there was a big painting of huge baby Hanuman with the sun behind him, right? And we used to go down and spend a lot of time there. After many days down there, I noticed down in the corner of the painting was a tiny little picture, a painting of the Baba looking up at this huge baby Hanuman with the sun behind him. And apparently this was a picture that he told somebody to paint about his darshan of Hanuman when he had a vision of Hanuman, that the baby Hanuman was huge. And the sun was behind him, and he was tiny in the corner looking up at this huge thing. You know, I remember when I was in the jungle or at this Baba's ashram, the Ramayana was, they made a TV serial of the Ramayana. And it started that year I was there. So I was in the jungle, and I wanted to watch it, and they had a little black and white TV. It was about a 10-inch screen. And it was covered with a cloth, and it was up on a shelf. So I asked, if we could watch this thing. And they said, oh, yeah, so just go sit in there, and we'll turn it on at like 4 o'clock. So I went in there about 3:45, and I was sitting there alone. One by one, all these incredible-looking babas walked in. They came out of the jungle to watch this television show about Ram. And they had long jata, and they were covered with ashes. Some of them were naked. Some of them had a little longer, and they looked like, and their eyes were like burning coals, I was sitting there surrounded by these guys, thinking, oh my God, what is this, right? And they all stood there like this, sitting there like this. Then the television would turn on, and every single one, oh, Ramji, look at Ram, I see Ram. Oh, there's Hanuman. It was insane. And then as soon as the TV went off, they got off and walked, disappeared back into the jungle. Oh, my God. India. Mom. And I have a picture in my bathroom right next to the toilet. It's a picture of Maharaji reading a book called Bhaktiraj Hanuman, King of Devotees Hanuman. He's lying, he's standing like this, and he's holding the book up and he's reading it. As I sit there reading the Times, I gaze over at him reading about Hanuman, and I realize he doesn't think about the Times, or the Post, or the Washington Post, or Huffington Post. He only cares about Hanuman. He's always reading Hanuman, I'm reading the Times. Hey, what's up? Yeah. Boom, That's what he loves. He loves, there's a beautiful line in the Ramayana, Rama Keva Prema Piyara, Jani Leon Jo Jani, something like that. I don't know the Hindi. But it means like, Ram only loves love. The only way to get to Ram is through love. Ram loves love alone. There's no other way. There's no manipulation. There's no yoga. There's no tantra. There's no nothing that can get Ram, can bring Ram to you, except love. The Tulsidas Ramayana is beautiful. Well, we'll talk about it tomorrow. But it's the devotional telling of the story of the Valmiki Ramayana, which is the original telling of the story of Ram. And it's all in verse, and it's all poetry, and it's sung in India. It's not read, it's sung. It's all like song. It's so beautiful. Save it for tomorrow. Okay, so let's try this. These are the words to the song here. Okay, send right now. Let's take a lottery. How many seconds will it take Mark to figure out what song this is? You should see, show him the stack of songs. He's got all, every song has its own card. And I looked at him, I said, I said to him, I know that many chants? He's got everything written down. Just practicing because I haven't played it in 20 years. Closer than breath. You are the air, sweeter than life itself. You are here. I am a wanderer. You are my peace. I am a prisoner. You are released. In your name. steps through the flame. All that I ever need is in your name. I carry your heart in mine, vast as space.
Oh,
Chaknaji. I hope there's life support here somewhere.
Dr. Rick.
Dr. Rick's here. We're okay. Dr.
Rick.
How did you come up with that song?
I didn't come up with it. It's been around since Jesus has been around. But really, you know, in India, there we were in India, hanging out with our guru, a little old Hindu man, Indian man, in a blanket. And he looked at us one day and he said, Hanuman, Krishna, and Christ are the same. Terrific. This is not what I wanted to hear. And he started to talk to us about Jesus. At first, you know, we thought, oh, it's because we're Westerners and that's kind of the local religion here, the main local religion. But no, it seemed to be something different. He really began to talk to us about Jesus. And he spoke about him with such emotion. Really, it was unusual. It was striking. We didn't know what to think. It was moving, very moving. You know, he would say, you know, he would get quiet and he would look and it looked like tears were going to come and he would say, you know, he loved everyone. He felt no pain on the cross. He loved everyone. He loved everyone. He never died. He became one with all beings. You know. That wasn't the Jesus I heard about growing up, you know. I don't know about you, but so it was extraordinary. And so Ram Dass and us, we started to, on Sunday mornings, we put on our white holy clothes and sit on the porch of the hotel where we were living. And we'd read out loud from the Gospels. And it was like, oh, of course. Because this is what we were seeing in India. This is what we were experiencing with Maharaji and with the saints and with the holy ways that people lived there. It was just like, oh, I get it now. You know, it was amazing. When I was having a nervous breakdown and I was going to jump in the river and drown myself because it was only 6 inches deep. But I figured if I could squeeze my head in between a couple of rocks and hold it there long enough, you know. He looked at me and said, what are you going to do, jump in the river? Ha, ha, ha. He said, worldly people don't die. Worldly people, only Jesus died the real death. He said, because he never thought of himself. He never thought of himself. So that's not like just not thinking of yourself. Thoughts of an individual self, different from other people, separate from other people, never arose in his consciousness. He was completely united with all beings. He was one, just like Hanuman, just like Ram, just like Krishna, just like all the great beings. No thought of himself ever arose. He went for there for his people and he left for his people. It's just another way of seeing it, you know, that we never occurred to me on Long Island. Where's Raghu? Is he here? Huh? So, I'm going to tell the story wrong again, okay? Thank you. I need his permission, because he was the one. So this Canadian guy came to the temple one day, you know, and he didn't know anything about how Maharaji was, so but out to Maharaja Maharaj said, you know, where are you from, Canada? What do you want? Why'd you come? So he thought he should give like a spiritual answer, you know. Like, could you teach me how to meditate? He never talked about that stuff. When we asked him, how do you find God? He said, serve people. Excuse me? What do you mean? Serve them what? Lunch? It was unusual. And then how do you raise kundalini? Feed people. He never told us to meditate. He never instructed us to do things that were overtly for the sake of our own so-called spiritual advancement. Never. So he says, get out of here. Go in the back with the other crazy people, the Westerners. You know, go on, get out. So as he's walking away, Maharaji says, just meditate like Christ. So he came back and we introduced ourselves and then we debriefed him. Because we debriefed everybody who was with Maharaj. What did he say? He said to meditate like Christ? Jesus. That works every time. I laugh every time, and I've said it 40 billion times. Anyhow, so we figured now we got him. Because if he said that, then he must know how Jesus meditated. We'll ask him, he'll tell us, and we'll do it, and bam, we'll be enlightened. Just like that. So later on, I think it was Ram Dass asked him, Baba, you said we should meditate like Christ. How did he meditate? So it seemed as if he was about to say something, but then he just stopped. And his eyes closed. And he sat in front of us completely still. You have to understand, we never saw him sit still for one second. He was throwing fruit in all directions, talking to 10 people at once, patting this one on the head, patting this one, blah, 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 blah. Total chaos all the time. And all of a sudden, boom. And he sat there. And it seemed like the whole world stopped turning. And then two tears came down his cheek. And he just kind of shook himself. He said, he's one with all beings. He never died. He lost himself in love. He's one with all beings. You know, that was a... It was hard open. It wasn't my idea of meditation. You know, meditation was you sat there and you got angry at yourself. But here, this is what Maharaji said. How did he meditate? He lost himself in love. He merged himself completely in love.